run the bar for more than 25 years. It could be the guests, the mix of the older generation, local islanders, and a few stranded tourists. It could be the small, banal signs on the back wall of the bar. Men without shirts are not welcome. Women without shirts get free drinks. It could be the narrow terrace that stretched along the building, where you could sit on uncomfortable benches, drinking your beer and watching life go by in the harbour below. The local fishermen, the ferries that sailed a shuttle service to the main island, the tourists who tried to make up their minds between the 4 to 5 eateries at the harbour and ended up choosing the island's signature dish, rabbit in garlic, often to their great disappointment. Perhaps it was the unfinished business from the time the country was under British rule that gave the place the final touch of something timeless and embracing. Whatever the reason, she was always in a good mood when she entered the Glen Eagles Bar at the port town of Ain Selim on Gozo. If Malta was peripheral Europe, then this small island was peripheral Malta. She was born here. She felt at home here. It was at the end of the afternoon, at the end of August, the end of the tourist season, the end of a local bank holiday, and the end of the hottest part of summer, nearly 30 degrees and blue skies. It was bearable. Even so, Daphne Preca could feel her white blouse sticking to her back. It had been a long, productive day. Now she just needed the last, and most important, meeting before taking the ferry back to the main island and the flat in Valletta where she now lived. She looked around. It was a little before 5 and he hadn't arrived yet. She ordered 2 small draft beers, sat outside on the terrace, following the activities in the harbour and mulling over the day's interviews on the other side of the island. They had clearly been afraid to talk to her, afraid that other people would see them together. One interview had taken place in one of the island's many large churches and had been conducted in a whisper, as if the former auditor would go to hell if he heard it. Who he was had never become entirely clear. It could be the Italian mafia, it could be Russian oligarchs, it could be Maltese judges. It could also be the country's prime minister, or people close to him. She had been researching the prime minister and his connections for almost a year as a freelance journalist. The prime minister was young, energetic, and an economic liberal, even though he was the leader of the revitalized Labour Party. She had even voted for him first time around. The economy was booming, unemployment was falling, and the Prime Minister was, in every way, just what they liked in the European capitals, not least in Brussels. After several years of misrule in Malta, the Union's smallest state was under control, in the view of the mainland. No threats of veto, no individualistic points of view. In return, there soon wouldn't be a stretch of asphalt in the country that wasn't paid for in whole or in part by Brussels. It was of lesser importance that corruption, at all levels of the small island kingdom, was well known and widespread. The 10 richest people in the country, according to Forbes's latest list, were all politicians. Agreement in the EU was what was most important. Through the expose of the Mossack Fonseca law firm in Panama, Daphne Preca had mapped out how overseas companies sold Maltese passports to the highest bidder. Malta, together with Cyprus, had become the gateway to EU citizenship, especially for wealthy Russians with dubious backgrounds. At the same time, she was close to obtaining conclusive evidence of massive transfers of money from the government of Azerbaijan to Malta via Panama. This apparently included millions exchanged between the daughter of the president of Azerbaijan and the pretty wife of the Maltese prime minister. That was the reason for her meeting here. She considered herself a journalistic one-man army, but that was how it had been for most of her 52 years.